Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, John Couch on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for this Monday, March 30th, 2020. Of course, we're practicing safe distancing while bringing people together in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, anywhere in the world live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. During the coronavirus crisis, Moe is open for one-on-one appointments only. Call 795-8226 to arrange time with Mo or his very lovely and efficient daughter, Corinne. No interruptions, no other customers. Mo will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door, and you can coordinate a visual design session through the glass. Moe's Gallery, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And again, if you want that number, and I hope you will get it, it's at the website, moesgallery.com. It's 795-8226. Time for the Monday Political Face-Off. With us on the live line, of course, this is not the way I like to do the face-off, but in these extraordinary times, we have to do the program telephonically. John Munger, Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for Arizona governor a few years ago, with us on the live line. And Jeff Rogers, again, another well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. John, we'll begin with you. How was your weekend?
Had a great weekend. Boring as usual during these times, but doing great.
And Jeff, my friend?
Well, I had a nice weekend. It was got to spend some time with my horses, and I guess they're safe from the coronavirus, so I don't have to worry about them spreading it to me. But it was a lovely weekend, and had a lot of boring things to do at home after that.
Well, I will be glad, gentlemen, to have the month of March in the rearview mirror. Unfortunately, April's expected to be worse. The news over the weekend really shook me up on a personal and professional level. Saturday, that Pima County Supervisors Chairman Richard Elias died of an apparent heart attack in his home or at his home. Richard was a good friend. I'll miss him professionally and personally. So we're left now with a four-member board, two Republicans, two Democrats, who will meet Thursday and probably announce that they will start accepting applications for candidates to fill out Richard's remaining 9 months on the board. This is kind of uncharted territory. The candidates must be Democrats. They must live in District 1. If the vote on the new supervisor is deadlocked, which could very well happen with two Republicans and two Dems, the clerk of the board will then break the deadlock. Jeff, let's begin with you. Again, uncharted territory. The deadline for filing for new candidates is coming up in just a few days. So realistically, you could be looking at, if the Republican candidate in this race doesn't get enough signatures to qualify, you could be looking at a totally write-in ballot there.
Well, you could. It takes 199 valid signatures to get on the ballot. Were we to find a consensus Democratic candidate, I think we could probably gather that. Close friends and family that live in that district, I could probably get 10 signatures today. And if, 24 other people did it, that would give you 250 signatures. Probably safely you want to get 300. But, that could be done. But the first part is, can we find a consensus candidate that we can rally around and do that for? But should we not get somebody on the ballot, then the write-in deadline, I think, is June the 25th.
No. The deadline for signatures is coming up in 3 or 4 days here in
April. That's the deadline
for
signatures to get on the ballot the normal fashion.
Oh.
But to register as a write-in candidate for either the Republican or the Democratic primary, the deadline, I believe, is sometime in mid-June. That's usually when it is.
Okay, so you're talking for the general election then. Yeah.
Well, no, for the primary, for a write-in.
Oh, for a prime. Okay.
Yeah, for a write-in candidate. And this is not unheard of. Remember, you know, we knocked off all of the Republican candidates, as well as some Democrat and independent ones, when Jonathan Rothschild ran for mayor the first time. And I forget what his name was, but they were able to get a candidate on the ballot with write-ins only for the primary and for the general election. And it would have been on for the primary as well, but you're going to have to, you know, that would be the last-ditch effort, would be to try to run as a write-in and get enough signatures.
John, these, of course, are unprecedented times, John Munger, and I think you're going to see when all is said and done that candidates have really struggled to get enough signatures, because people just, they don't want someone coming to the door. They're afraid to even, like, maybe pick up a pen that someone's handing them. Your thoughts, John Munger?
Well, I think that the Democratic Party will come up with a candidate and probably a consensus candidate, and I think that they will get that done. I have no doubt that the clerk of the board will probably vote with the Democrats on the board, so I think that we'll have a candidate, and then we'll have write-ins for the election or enough signatures to get them on the ballot. I think it's going to happen. With people like Jeff out there that are very good at what they do, I think the Democrats will come up with their candidate. I don't know if the Republicans will.
Let me talk about the presidential election. We had Joe Biden over the weekend saying he thinks we need to prepare for an all-mail-in ballot presidential election. Your thoughts on that? We'll begin with you, John.
Well, I think it's premature to say that. I think that by the time the presidential election gets, by the time we get to that November, this coronavirus thing should be pretty well past us, and I think people can vote as usual. I think it's way premature to be making those decisions right now. We can make those decisions later if we need to.
Well, I think that what we need to do is we need to have a plan in place. The easy thing to do would be to run the rest of the primaries all mail-in right now and finish up the primaries, and then have a plan in place so that we can immediately go to mail-in should it become necessary, because there are an awful lot of experts who are saying that this is going to be a little bit like the Spanish flu from 1917 and 18, and that what we're going to see is bad results now, but it will come back in the fall with even worse results. And so I think we can anticipate that that is a distinct possibility, and knowing that that's a distinct possibility, we ought to have a plan in place that we can implement to go forward with all by-mail elections in every state. Now, that it may not come to that. Perhaps in September we'll see that things are better, and it didn't come back with a grievance, but there's a strong chance that this thing's going to be around for a while, perhaps for a long time, and become a seasonal flu like our regular flu is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that it's always good to have a plan B, but I think it's way premature for people to be counting on having elections by mail-in only. I don't think that's called for right now. Having a plan B is fine, you know, we've been able to make it through the fall season with regular elections, and even with pandemics out there like the flu, and the flu is a pandemic in the sense that it attacks all over the world, and certainly in the United States. So, you know, it's fine to have a plan B, but I wouldn't be jumping to conclusions on that right now.
Okay, gentlemen, stick around. We're going to switch topics after we take the break. But first, I want to tell everybody about Mona's Danish Bakery, open for business. We were up at Mona's on Saturday, and I am happy to report there was a steady stream of people keeping their 6 feet distancing. lining up for their bakery goods. They take their bakery goods and they leave the bakery. And so it's a really simple way to handle it. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Please support our local businesses during this coronavirus crisis. Go to monasdanishbakery.com. There you'll find their phone number. And you can give them a call and say, I'll be over in a few minutes or a half hour, and could you have such and such ready for me? Because the grill is open at 6:30 in the morning, and they close at 2 o'clock. Again, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Open for business on appointments only. Go to the website, moesgallery.com. You'll find the phone number there. Call them up. Say you'd like an appointment, and they'll take care of you. We'll be right back.
During the coronavirus crisis, Vero Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. You can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com. Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include The Amazing 30-Year History, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass Tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. During the coronavirus crisis, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is open for one-on-one appointments only by calling 795-8226 to arrange a time with Moe or Corinne. No interruptions and no other customers. Moe will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowland Dodge, 795-8226 and moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, open for business right now for all of your gardening needs. And Moe's Gallery, as you just heard that new spot we are running. They are open during this crisis on one-on-one appointments only. So here's the deal. The store is closed, but if you call and set up an appointment, you can have Mo's undivided attention. He'd be happy to meet with you, mosgallery.com. Our Monday political face-off, and normally I would say John Munger is seated to my right, so I guess in my headset, his voice telephonically will come from my right ear, and Jeff Rogers' voice will come from my left ear. Jeff is normally seated to my left. So we're trying to make do here, and I guess that's the way it is with everybody these days, trying to make do. John Munger, I want to hear your opinion, and I want to hear Jeff's opinion as well, because both of you have great legal minds. Respect both of you a lot. So I want to hear what you think. Begin with John. Does Mayor Romero, John Munger, have the authority to go beyond what the governor has said in taking actions to basically order non-essential businesses to close?
Well, I think it's very debatable whether she does or not. Number one, power in which the statute in which he's using to close, to order non-essential businesses to close, permits her to do that to retain peace, is what the statute says, peace and order in the community. Then if peace and order is at risk, then she can close down businesses. I don't think we have any insurrection or disorder in our community, and therefore I frankly doubt that she has the authority to issue this order. If we had an insurrection or disorder or rioting in the streets, that would be one thing, but we don't. And I don't think she can expand that statutory authority to close down, order the close down of businesses. I think she can suggest all she wants, but she's issued an order. Second of all, I doubt that, although I haven't researched it, I doubt that she has the authority to expand upon the governor's orders or suggestions of close downs. I haven't researched that. But I have there are other constitutional issues that may apply. I have not researched the entire issue, but I doubt that the statute that she's using gives her the power to order the close of businesses, except for when there are times of disorder or insurrection or riots. So I don't think she probably has the authority. How a court would rule on that is always an issue, of course. And I doubt that anybody is going to be challenging that in a way that will get heard by a court and the issue resolved prior to this whole thing being substantially over.
Okay.
Now, there may be some court challenges for damages against the city for abuse or overexpansion of her authorities after the fact. But I don't see a court issuing an injunction right now. I just doubt that will happen. But that's just my opinion.
All right. Now let's hear the opinion of Jeff Rogers.
Well, first off, from a political matter, I would have preferred that the mayor issue an order asking businesses to comply with this. And she did use only the non-essential services that were declared non-essential by the governor. So arguably she's sticking with, you know, the governor on this. I would have preferred something that asked for voluntary compliance and then suggest that they relook at the issue, you know, and 2 weeks and see if everyone's complied. And if not, and it's a problem, then maybe an order is necessary. But there are issues with the legality of this. I mean, looking at the statute, it seems to suggest this may not rise to the level to trigger that statute. The statute says that an emergency exists due to fire, conflagration, flood, earthquake, explosion, war, bombing, acts of the enemy, or any other natural or man-made calamity or disaster by reasons of threats or occurrences of riots, routs, affrays, which is basically mayhem, or other acts of civil disobedience which endanger life or property within the city. So, you know, does it rise to that level? One could make, and John sort of did make, the argument that this doesn't rise to that level of a danger to the society. But, you know, it's pretty broadly worded, so, you know, it's hard to know how a court would rule on it. There's two ways you could seek injunctive relief and have it declared that it was, you know, this action was illegal. I doubt if anybody's going to do that. The other way you could challenge it is just ignore it and wait and see if the city tries to cite you or take you to court on it, and that might not happen either. So from a legal point of view, it's probably going to end up moot, as John said. By the time anybody would take any action, it would probably, we would be out of this, at least these initial phases of this. But, you know, arguably she has the power, but, yeah, the statute seems to suggest a little bit higher threshold.
And John?
Yeah, there are a couple of statutes involved. One is the emergency, the declaration of an emergency, as Jeff has cited. And it does mention natural disasters. So maybe she could cite this as a natural disaster. But the problem is the statute under which she orders the closure of business seems to require challenges to peace and order. Those are the terms, peace and order. And I just don't think this rises to the level of a problem of peace and order. And therefore, I doubt she has the power to order this. I agree with Jeff. It should have been done as a suggestion, but she didn't. She issued an order. And the problem is violation of that order is accompanied by a potential finding against a violator, if the violator should be prosecuted and lose the case, you're subject to a class one misdemeanor, which is, you know, as I recall, Jeff is up to 6 months in prison.
Or a $2,500 fine up to.
Yeah. And I just think that people would be challenging this if they disobeyed this order. They would be challenging it at their risk. Now, I think, as I've said, and I think as Jeff has said, they have a reasonable chance of prevailing, and court certainly doesn't have to order 6 months in prison or $2,500 fine. I mean, they could do probation or anything they want to do, but and probably would. But I think that people need to understand they'd be at risk. I think that as Jeff has said, and as I've said previously, I doubt anybody's going to be challenging this and getting through the court process by the time this issue is fundamentally resolved. We may have a carryover of this for a while, of this problem, but I think that I'm certainly now Jeff and I happen to operate essential businesses, so we could go into the office if we wanted to. My office is not. We're operating remotely out of respect for people's concerns and our own welfare. But I wouldn't want to encourage people to just go off and flaunt the law because there are penalties that are potentially can be invoked.
Gentlemen, Will Hummel, who was with us last week here on the program, the former Arizona State Health Director, has told my listeners pretty much what you gentlemen have just said, that it's kind of a gray area, but where the city may be in trouble is after this is over, with businesses coming forward that were not in that in the governor's original decree about what was considered essential and not, and suing for damages.
Well, they can do that, Bill. But here's the problem. How do you prove your damages?
Yeah, that's, mm-hmm. John's taking the words out of my mouth. He's exactly right.
Speculative. The problem is, how do you show that every lawsuit has a civil lawsuit? You're talking about civil lawsuits after this is over. And somebody would be going to court, and they'd have to prove two things. That the order was a violation of the law, that's number one. But then they've got to prove their damages. And how you go about proving how much business you lost because she ordered something instead of suggested something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to do.
Yeah, no, I concur. Your damages would be very speculative. You would have, how would you show that people would have gone to your business anyway were it not for that order issued by the mayor? And, that's highly speculative.
Couldn't they say this is the average what we had like last year during this particular period? This were our average receipts.
Last year was last year. That was last year, but
previous month.
You could use those figures, but you have to show not just that you lost business, but that business was lost because she ordered something rather than suggested it.
Okay. Yeah. Guys, we're going to have to leave it there. Good discussion. I appreciate it very much. Stay safe, okay?
Well, and stay safe, we will really, really, really miss Chairman Elias. I just can't say how much I loved and respected him.
Me too. Thank you, John and Jeff. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, open for business, one-on-one appointments. They've been our longtime sponsor of our Monday Political Face-Off. We very much appreciate their support during these very trying times. Their website's moesgallery.com. There's more info there for you. Be right back.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this final day, final Monday. We've got one more day to go and a very difficult month this has been. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, 50 years and still growing over at 3384 East River Road. They're on a 13-acre site, so there is plenty of room to do your social distancing when you pick up all your plants. And they've got everything you need for the gardening. Lots of people have either rediscovered or have taken up gardening because they've got a lot of time on their hands at home. So check it out, greenthingsaz.com, and of course, zocalovillage.com as well. This is the 30th anniversary for the Sonoran Institute, which has been connecting people and communities with the natural resources that nourish and sustain them. They continue to do astounding work along the Colorado River Delta and here in Tucson along the Santa Cruz River. Couple of their major projects. Let's welcome now on the live line Stephanie Sklar, the CEO of the Sonoran Institute. Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm hanging in there like everybody else. And then this shocking news that my friend, boy, I've known Richard Elias for many, many years, not just the 10 years here on the radio, but my many years over on Arizona Illustrated. Richard was on the program so many times. So I'm going to really miss him, not only professionally, but more importantly, personally. And he was a good friend, Stephanie, of conservation in this community, wasn't he?
He certainly was. And I also, like you, I had a personal relationship with Richard for many years. I actually met him 19 years ago when I was the CEO of the Arizona League of Conservation Voters. And he was such an important ally in terms of early victories that we made for Pima County in conservation, like the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan in particular. And I really consider him a friend. And in fact, I had just seen him at two events right before we all got quarantined. And he actually looked good. And I had commented to him about how good he looked. And happy to say I got hugs before the quarantine and hugs before we lost him. So he is a tremendous loss to all of Arizona and certainly to conservation.
I think he was with us maybe a week and a half ago here on the radio show. And yeah, he's a big hugger. And of course, it would have been before we went 2 weeks ago to all our telephone interviews, but so it would have been about 2.5 weeks ago. So my new greeting now, putting my hand over my heart when I see people. So that's what I did when I saw Richard, but I'll sure miss his smiling face. What about the Santa Cruz River? There's been so many exciting things going on there. Stephanie, give me kind of an overview of some of the big achievements that you point to on this 30th anniversary.
Sure. It's hard to know even where to begin because the Santa Cruz River is such an important treasure for those of us who live in southern Arizona. And it, I don't know if people really know this, but it is the oldest, longest permanently inhabited river area where agriculture has been going on for thousands and thousands of years on the Santa Cruz River. So it has tremendous cultural, historic significance as well, not just for Arizona, but for all of North America. And it's also a binational river with the unique characteristic that it actually crosses the border twice without even having to go through border patrol.
I didn't know that.
Pretty cool. It starts up in the sort of northwest part, and then it travels south, and then it dips into Mexico, and then it does a U-turn, and it comes right back up again, and then ultimately out into the Gila River. So it's pretty special for that reason as well. And, of course, culturally, you know, the Tohono O'odham have depended on the Santa Cruz River and have crossed freely across the U.S.-Mexican border because their country crosses the border, and so the river has been extremely important for them as well. We've been very fortunate because we have been so innovative with our water use in Tucson that we became very early adopters of the value of effluent and the value of effluent for nature. And so we've been able to sustain some flows in the Santa Cruz River because we are using treated effluent from the treatment plants, both on the upper Santa Cruz, the Nogales wastewater treatment plant, and then the lower Santa Cruz from Pima County. So we've got a thriving bird population, if anybody who's ever been out to Sweetwater Preserve knows. And we've got now, with the completion of the loop, we've got a fabulous recreational opportunity for people as well. And you see businesses locating on the river like Caterpillar. So it's very, very important to our economy, to our culture, to our environment, and to the people who live here.
If you've ever seen some of these satellite pictures that have been taken recently about before COVID-19 and then after, it is really astounding to see how the air on this planet is cleaned up in a couple of weeks.
Well, you know, that's really interesting point, Bill, because for those of us, I think, who sit where I sit and have been fighting these environmental battles for so many years, if anything good comes out of COVID-19, perhaps it will be, well, there'll be two things. One will be renewing our real sense of community, the way people have come together, but also that we can be kinder and gentler on the planet, and that we don't need to fly as much, drive as much, throw our waste into the river. We can be more considerate of our resources as well, use less, do less, and just be more connected to our resources and to our fellow humans.
One thing before we let you go, Stephanie, tell our listeners, kind of give us the 30-second elevator pitch about what the Sonoran Institute is and does.
So for over 30 years, the Sonoran Institute has been connecting people and communities to the natural resources that nourish and sustain them. It's often said that we make the economic case for conservation because we don't ask people to give up their livelihoods. We try to provide them with the tools to understand that actually their livelihoods are more vibrant when they protect the natural assets that are provided to them in nature, our water, our land, our air. And we have such important work to do here in the Colorado River Basin, because water is so precious to us and to the generations that will come after us. So we provide the tools that communities need to make good decisions and to plan for an uncertain future. We've been talking about uncertainty, the Sonoran Institute has, for 30 years, and now we're living it. So I think we hear loud and clear that we need to plan for it, we need to be good stewards of our resources, and we need to all work together to ensure they're here for future generations.
Stephanie Sklar, thank you very much, Stephanie. Keep up the good work. What's your website?
SonoranInstitute.org.
Perfect. Stay well. Okay.
You too, Bill. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Things going on. Planning continues for Silver City's big event, Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully we'll have an all clear maybe in early May, which would be great, that because the Silver City Blues Festival is going to be planned and right now still moving forward. In fact, a decision to be made in a couple of weeks. But right now you can start dreaming about a road trip. 3-hour drive over to Silver City. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. So many questions about tax filing. Our tax guy, Michael C. Flowers, is next.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Amadouro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com. The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We're at 10:30, The Voice, Tucson's source for trusted news talk. And we do have Michael C. Flowers, certified public accountant, with us on the live line. Michael, how are you, my friend?
Great, Bill. This is an unusual day in the accounting and tax profession with that tax law just passed.
Yeah, I have so many questions for you and so little time. So let's begin with the questions. The people are very concerned about, what about April 15th? Has that now been moved or what?
The good news for everybody is that the April 15th deadline, just think of it as July 15th. And that includes, fortunately, for those people that owe money, they do not have to send it in to July 15th. So if you did your return already and you owe the IRS $10,000, rather than send the money now, you can wait till April 15th, and it will have the same consequence. the little caveat that most people aren't aware of, though, is that the estimated payments for 2020, the April 15th, which would be the first payment towards 2020,
right,
that's been extended to July, but there's a payment due June 15th, which is the second payment.
What?
And literally, the second payment is due before the first payment.
Oh, my God.
Until they correct that, but as of now, they've not extended the June 15th payment as they did the April 15th payment. So if you're keeping track of things, then the next due date really is going to be June 15th, and that'll be your second estimate for 2020.
Mm.
And if you haven't done your 19 return, you pretty much have to give it your best shot or consult with your CPA, and they'll make a recommendation to at least equal either your 18 or 19 tax liability.
What about
that's
the
a rough guess?
What about the state, Michael C. Flowers?
The state was generous enough to also go along with the IRS and allow the extension to July 15th.
Now, what about all of this about dipping into your IRA without a penalty? Could you please go over that?
Well, generally what they're saying, and I don't have all the details, but generally if you're under 59 and a half and you take money out of your IRA, not only does it become taxable income, but in addition, you pay a 10% penalty. And what I'm afraid they're going to mislead people into is, geez, I can take money out of my IRA and I don't owe any tax on it.
Right.
And that's not going to be true. So let's say I was going to take $100,000 out of my IRA. Under current law, I would owe a $10,000 penalty. Plus, if I was in the 30% tax bracket, I would owe $30,000 on that.
Whoa.
Under the new law, you wouldn't owe that extra $10,000, but you will owe the $30,000 equivalent for the income taxes. So money coming out of an IRA is generally taxable to the recipient, and it's taxable at your incremental tax bracket. So if I made $150,000 and my tax bracket was 28%, and now I took $100,000 out of my IRA, that would be taxed at the equivalent 28%.
That word is not getting out. That's the first.
No, I think people are misled.
People are thinking that you can just take this money.
Right,
no
right.
There are no tax consequences.
No, what they removed is the 10% penalty. And if they're like you and I, Bill, who have unfortunately passed the 59 and a half year threshold,
yeah,
they haven't done anything for us because we could have taken that money out before this new law passed.
Mm. How is this? Go ahead.
So what I was going to say is this benefits the the younger people to a certain degree if it makes sense, but we're not at this point. We're doing it on a case by case basis. Whether we would tap into an IRA. I think you're generally better off borrowing the funds or trying to find other sources of income. Unless, let's say your business was down $50,000 or you had a $50,000 loss in your business so far, and if you did take $50,000 out of your IRA, you would theoretically not owe tax on that $50,000 because you have a loss to offset it. So in those cases, we may advise a client, hey, you can get money out of your IRA, not pay the penalty, and not pay income tax on it.
Michael C. Flowers with us. He is the certified public accountant, the CPA for the Buckmaster Show. Michael and I have been friends many, 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 many years. All this news broke, the social distancing, all of it broke at the absolute height of the tax season for CPAs. How are you handling this? You are an essential business, right?
We are an essential business under Arizona law, along with lawyers and a number of other businesses. It's a pretty broad category. So
broadcasters.
I'd say about a third to half of our staff at any point in time is working from home. And then the other third to half is in the office. So somebody may come Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Somebody may come just the mornings. And we're very, very flexible, whatever each employee desires and what makes sense, as long as to keep the cycle moving. We're obviously not at the same pace we would be if we were fully staffed, but we've been very fortunate recently to hire a very strong tax manager that's got about 30 hours of research already into the Family and Sick Leave Act as well as the CARES Act. So we're, in fact, this morning, and I was a little bit tardy on calling you, Bill, I apologize, but I was on phone calls to clients that they've closed restaurants, they've closed bars.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, what do I do, and what does this all mean to me? And we're trying to give them some guidance.
So. And I will say for your clients, and I'm one of them, I was by the office on Friday. Michael has a giant conference table, so we are able to have Michael at one end of the table and the client at the other. And I swear it's got to be at least 12 to 14 feet.
It's socially distanced, and we definitely practice it in the office.
Yes.
And you know, the phone has no consequences.
No.
And Bill, as a courtesy to you and your guests, if people are starting to wonder, what do I do, what should I do, I will take those calls, and as quick as I can, I will get back to them. But our priority at this point is our clients. But we do welcome questions, and we will get to people that, you know, Mike, you know, I'll definitely call them back by tomorrow and at least do some triage, as we say.
Quick question coming in on our live line. They want to know, Michael, how late can one make their 2019 IRA deposit?
Unfortunately, they did not extend that, and as of now, it's April 15th.
Hmm.
And that may get I think they're going to do a lot more in terms of extension and being more liberal with all different situations. But, you know, they're trying to fight the major issues. And if there were some errors or not enough guidance, or if you did make your IRA payment late, I certainly wouldn't do it. But if it had to do with COVID or something, I would think you'd have reasonable cause. And a CPA could get you through that predicament. But as of now, it's still April 15th. A week or two from now, they may say, no, everything goes to July 15th.
All right. And for all the friends of the Buckmaster Show, sometimes it's hard for people, they may be out in the car, to write a number down. But best place to, first of all, give your number and then the website.
All right. Our phone number is 327-8706. Certainly mention you're a friend of the Bill Buckmaster Show, and we'll move you to the top of the list as we can. And the name of the firm is Flowers Rieger, and that's our website. Flowers is very easy, Flowers, and my partner's name is Rieger.com.
Or, Michael, if they just want to Google, they could Google Flowers.
Yeah, Flowers. If you Google me,
CPA.
There's a lot about me out there.
Yeah, you could put Flowers CPA Tucson, and you're gonna get to you.
Yeah, but it's a nice name to have at this time in life that it's easy to remember.
Well,
and, Bill, I just hope your guests are staying home, and you know, taxes aren't a priority, but it's something that everybody's going to have to face eventually, and we're here to help if there's people that have questions or desires. And we don't charge for the phone call. That'd be a courtesy to your show, and
thank
just
you.
Our fair share
thank
to,
you.
To the public.
All right, Michael C. Flowers, always a pleasure. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Bill. Right. Wonderful times. You take
all
care.
Right. Michael C. Flowers with a certified public accountant, and he will take your calls, believe me. And there are so many questions. It seems to be breaking every day about the financial repercussions of this COVID-19. As you heard, Michael was on the phone with a restaurant owner being very hard hit, and that's understandable. A lot of people being hard hit right now. John Couch, my engineer producer. Thank you, John. We're going to move on now to the Dave Ramsey Show. And Dave's got some really good advice during this whole COVID-19 thing. Really sound advice. He's not panicking. Really level-headed guy. That's next on 1030 The Voice. Have a great afternoon.